Welcome to Dolly Shares, a show where Dolly Howard shares her experiences, thoughts, and emotions as only Dolly can. This is a pre-recorded presentation.
Welcome to Dolly Shares, coming to you from Dolly World. I'm Dolly Howard, and I'm recording this on Wednesday, February 28, 2018. This is the last day of February already. Today I'll be sharing with you on mediumship and spirits. It was suggested by Colleen that I share with you about the spirits and how they come to me, things they say, things like that. So I will share that with you today. I want to start with the background on how I worked my way into even believing in mediumship. When I was a child, I had this ability, but I was shut down because my parents did not quite understand that. One night, I cried all night long, and I kept telling my parents, the walls are talking to me. The walls are talking to me. And I saw the walls coming in on me as if they were going to crush me, and they kept saying to me, we're coming to get you. As a child, that kind of experience is quite scary. And that's why I was crying so hard. I thought the walls were going to come and crush me and I'd be dead. Well, my parents didn't hear anything. They didn't see anything. So they keep telling me, there's nothing. You aren't hearing anything. Just shut up and go to sleep. So I continued to hear things, and I would share it just for a while after that experience. But I learned, just don't say anything about it and pretend you don't hear it. And eventually the things I would hear, the voices, the words would go away because I wasn't allowing them to come in. Well, when I grew up, I went through marriage, had my kids, got a divorce, met Stan, who died on August 12th, 1991. And that threw me into tremendous trauma, shock. I checked out for a while, and I had made plans to follow him. My parents seemed to pick up on that. So they brought me down to Florida to live in 1992, year after he had passed. And Annette and I started attending a church that was in a little tiny storefront. Its name was Angel Ministries. That's what drew us to it. I was starting to come out of my shock and realize my kids need me. I have to pull myself together. I have to get out of this. So when I did that, I evidently opened the doors for spirit contact. And then as we were attending these services at Angel Ministries, where it was a church where they did some meditation before and after the services, they would have somebody get up and talk about whatever they wanted to talk about in the spirit world. And then they would do readings at the end of their talk. More people who attend the church would come up front, and we'd have like six, seven, however many people standing up front giving readings to people in the audience. And of course, those of us in the audience loved it. And then I came to understand that a lot of the people, well, not a lot, quite a few of the people who attended Angel Ministries went to the School of Metaphysical Studies, which is located in Clearwater, Florida. And that's kind of close to Venice, but I didn't have to go there because one of the ladies who was a teacher there was able to, just a minute, Amber's jumping on my lap. Okay, one of the teachers who lived in our area and would attend Angel Ministries was allowed to teach classes, extended classes from the college at the Angel Ministries church building. So I attended. It was 2 years worth. And we learned a lot of things. We learned about colors and about auras and about listening to spirits. There's more in depth on listening to spirits and how to open yourself and stay safe and just a whole bunch, 2 years worth of studies. And they helped me to be able to understand what being a medium was. So at the end of 2 years, I graduated with a degree in metaphysical studies and mediumship. So I actually have a degree in this stuff, this woo-woo stuff. Can't tell you where I've used it because I don't think I have used it. Like in public, I haven't bragged about my degree in that subject. Because I also have associate's degree and other little things. But anyway, that's where I was learning more and more about mediumship. So, I opened up again to hearing the spirits and realized I do hear dead people talk to me. Took me a while to accept that fact. And even now, I wonder, am I completely bonkers? If I hear these voices in my head, and I have to share what's being said to me most of the time, and I try to share it with my youngest daughter, Sherry, and she looks at me, rolls her eyes, and I can see the pain in her. That she's thinking, oh my gosh, my mother is crazy. She even has just recently talked with me about it. But she's starting to understand it is real. Mom isn't crazy. She's okay. So we're getting there. Russell and Annette believed it all their lives. Because throughout their lives, I would hear spirits and every once in a while, I'd give someone the message that I was hearing from the spirit. But I talked with my angels and my guides all the time. My parents could not shut me down from that. I knew they were there. I knew they were communicating with me. So my kids heard me talking to spirits all their lives. When I did go to the Angel Ministries, I was wanting to be able to communicate more with Stan, who is I call him my soulmate. He was the man I met after my divorce and fell completely in love with. I mean, we knew we were meant to be together. We knew it. We knew we were together before. And I know we're going to be together more times. So, He passed away on August 12, 1991. And that's why, after I started coming out of my, where I had left, I saw my soul come out of my body. I saw this white thing come out of my body in my chest area. And this is when we discovered his body. And he went, the white thing was like a ball, came out of my chest, it stopped in front of my eyes, and went out the humongous window they had in the stairwell. It was huge looking outside, and I watched it go up into the clouds. And I knew that was 90% of me leaving. And I thought, well, I'll ask it back when I'm ready. So until I was able to realize I really needed to get myself back, I needed to participate in the world again. Stan was gone. I couldn't make him come back. It just wasn't going to happen in this lifetime that we would be together like we were before. It was the most... Well, anyway, won't get into that part. He was my incentive for wanting to learn more about communicating with spirits. But even though I have learned, he seems to be in a lower vibratory place than what a lot of the spirits are when they come to me. We can't communicate easily. And I know it's not because he's in a higher place, because that feels different to me. But we both try to get our vibration at the same place. What we do for communicating is I pray that I can dream about him, and I ask the angels, please let him come through into my dreams, and I ask him, and usually I will be able to dream about him. And we'll be together in the real dream world where you can touch and you see, you see clear and you feel each other and you smell the smells and you feel the pain and it's like a real world, but you're dreaming. You're there. It's not that you're not there. You're there. Your body's sleeping. Your mind is just working on its own for a little while. And you're dreaming. That's where I go to talk with Stan. But now, as I was opening up and learning, more spirits would come to me. And I would give the messages to the people, but first you ask, I have a spirit here who wants me to give you a message. Do you want to accept it? Because some people don't want it. It terrifies them. Just scares the bejeebers out of them. That a spirit would be talking. Because they don't believe in that kind of stuff. Which makes me think of Nick, my lawn guy. He reacted so badly. All I was doing was asking Nick when we first moved into this house last June, Nick, do you know the history of the house? Do you know, did someone die in the house? And he asked me, why are you asking me that? And I said, because we have a resident spirit. That poor kid. He did an about face. It started running. I think he took like 3 to 5 steps and he stopped himself, but he was making the grass fly up underneath his feet. And he looked so terrified, the poor kid. He came back to me and he says, I don't believe in that stuff. I says, you don't believe in spirits? He said, no. And I'm standing there thinking, Wow, you had quite the reaction for not believing in that stuff. So he asked me another, oh no, I think I just said to him, well, I didn't mean to frighten you. I just was wondering if someone, if you knew if someone had died in the house, because I knew it burned pretty much to the ground in 2005, and they built it up from ground level. And I said, since we moved in, I have this spirit who likes to play. And the poor kid, he turned around and took off again. I mean, the kid was running really fast. He got out near the street, and he had taken his hat off. He came back, and he said, no, I don't believe in that stuff, but I haven't, I don't know of anyone who died in your house. So that's how afraid some people are of hearing me talk about spirits. So you, and the rule of thumb is, if you're a medium and you get a message from someone, I wish I had a video of that. Oh, I so wish. So you could see his whole demeanor and hear his voice. Shame on me for laughing so hard. So that, oh yeah, being a medium, you learn. You ask the person if they want to receive a message from the spirit who is there to hear them. So, most times people want to hear the message from the spirit. I don't know who they are. They, if I'm around the person they want to give the message to, that's when they come to me and they start bugging me. For instance, if I'm in Barnes & Noble. I was just recently in Barnes & Noble buying a couple books for Dolly Reads for you on Wednesdays. 4 to 6, I'll put a plug in there. Wednesdays, 4 to 6 p.m. EST. So I had been looking at the books and I'm at the same time getting the message about this one book and this other book, and then I'm getting this message at the same time. I got 3 messages at once, and believe it or not, I was able to handle it and deal with each one all at the same time in my head, of course. There was this young man standing looking at the books, and he'd pull one out and look in it. Not, you know, I apologize. He'd look inside the book and peruse it. And so finally I said to the spirits, all right, I will talk to him. So I went over and I got his attention and I asked him, do you believe in angels? He said, well, it turned out he was there trying to find books on spirits and learn about angels. And here I am talking to him about angels. I said, well, they're real. The angels and the spirits are real. And I'm being told to tell you this and to ask you to please believe what you're wanting to. Open your mind, and you'll be able to hear what you want to hear from the angels. They are real. They're not going to hurt you. And so I talked to him twice. They made me talk to him twice. And Sherry was with me, and she just was kind of avoiding where we were talking. And the kid acted very bashful, and I knew he wanted me to go away because he was looking like he just wanted to disappear into the floor. But after I said it, the angel said, they let me know I did good. He needed to hear the words that they gave me to give him. So that's how sometimes I get messages for complete strangers. If I had not given that young man the message, those spirits would have bugged the heck out of me until they had us run into each other again. That message was meant for him. Sometimes I can be sitting at home just minding my own business and probably listening to the archives of that you can find at HSR and at Nancy's place, CosmicRealityRadio.com. And so, anyway, I'll be sitting there minding my own business and a spirit will come to me. And they say they have this message. And I say, well, how do I know who to give the message to? Because there's nobody here with me. And that's when they want me to give a message out on the airwaves when I'm on air. And I do it most times in a sneaky way. Because those who need to hear those words will hear them. So sometimes I say the words as they work into a sentence, or I just come out with a sentence saying those words that the person who's listening or will be listening to the show hear it, and they know it. And after I say the words, the spirit lets me know they'll hear it. Or, once in a while, they won't. They'll say they're not going to get it. They're not going to listen to this show. You need to say it on a different show. Until that person that they want to share the message with gets it. And they know they're going to get it. So I sometimes do kind of sneaky. Because I don't want to just interrupt a show and say, I have a message I need to get out. Once in a while I will, though. Not often, but once in a great while I will. I have to say this, the spirits are telling me, I have to say this, and it's going to a certain person who will know when they hear it, but I have to point this out so they'll pay attention. I have to say something like that. When I hear them, I'll get back to that when I hear them. One incident that really helped me to realize, yes, I'm not just making these things up in my head. These words are really meant for someone. I hear the spirits in different voices, different tones, different volumes. And they don't just sound in a monotone way to me, so I know I'm getting different spirits with me. My son-in-law's brother was in a fatal accident. He ended up in ICU for a little while. While he was trying to, he didn't really want to cross over, but his body was so, and brain were so badly injured that it was his time. It was just his time. So, Sherry had called me in tears. I lived in Venice at that time. I live in Palm Bay now, across the state, just right across the state on the East Coast. I was at the West Coast. Anyway, I had to drive from Venice to Tampa. And, cause he was in Tampa General in ICU. So I drove up there and I met up with the families, with Shannon, my son-in-law, Sherry, my daughter, and Shannon and Damien's parents. And Damien came to me right away. right away. He didn't understand to start with. So I explained to him, well, you had that accident. Your truck was in an accident. You got out to help someone and then you got crushed. And I said, remember, you had that accident. And now you're outside of your body, but you're hovering over it. And so we had a little talk and he started to understand. And he said, I want you to tell my parents things. Go out and have a cigarette with them so that they can be more at ease. So I suggested that we go out and have a smoke. His parents and I were smokers. Sherry and Shannon were not. But they went with us. So we went outside, and first Damien wanted me to talk with his father and tell him things only his father would know from his father's childhood. And then I talked with his mother, and Damien gave me things that only she would know. And then we went back up. I always waited in the waiting room. I just sat in the waiting room with whoever wasn't in the ICU. And I just was there for them. And we would talk or we wouldn't talk or we would cry or we'd talk about something about Damien that would make them laugh. Or I just was there. And throughout the thing, Shannon knew that I was a medium. So he'd be asking me questions and he'd be talking with Damien and Damien to him. Before I left the hospital that day, Shannon's parents looked at me and said, you're hearing him, aren't you? I just kind of smiled and said, yeah, he wants you to know he loves you very much. And of course we all cried. Makes me want to cry now. But about a month or two, maybe 3 months later, after Damien had passed away, he decided he went on. His parents called me and they said, can we come over? Will you give us a reading? And I said, sure, come on over. So they came over and they shared with me that they thought it was Damien doing it, but they knew there was a spirit in their house and his mother was all excited about it. She would shut the shower curtain in the boys' bathroom. She'd go in later and the shower curtain's open. And so she'd shut it again. She would go in later, because this got to be a thing. Shower curtains open. Things would get moved around the house. Very conspicuous things. And so they were thinking Damien was there yet. So I did a reading for him. And in the reading, I did acknowledge, yes, he's there. He did move on, but he comes back and visits. Because once you move on, you can come back and visit. That's what I've learned. Once the spirit has moved on, they can come back and visit. But it's just a visit. It's not like they're coming back in human form or anything. They come back in spirit and they can visit. Some have the ability to push things around. Some don't. Even sometimes, some can get their voice into the people's, can say something out loud, get it into their presence. And they don't do that a whole lot because of the way it scares the people. So during the reading, there was this tree in the backyard of Shannon's parents' house, the boy's parents' house. And he showed me the tree, and he showed me a hole was dug under the tree. A box was put in the hole, and it was covered up. and the dirt or the grass was put on it very carefully so no one would know there was anything done there. I said, I do not know what's in the box, but Damien keeps telling me it's okay now. It's okay. It can be shared. And every once in a while he'd come back to the tree and I draw as I do a reading for people. I have a pencil and papers in my notebook in my hand so I can draw pictures of things I get. And so he kept bringing my pencil back to that picture of the tree with the box planet under it. I guess on the way home, well, I don't guess, I know. On the way home, oh, before they left, Shannon's father kept saying, I believe you. You are real. I know you're real. I believe you, but I have to get out of here. And he'd look at Kim, his wife, and he'd say, we have to leave right now. Right now. And Kim would say, but I don't want to leave. I'm not done yet. Well, I was done because I had been doing over an hour and a half, and I was kind of worn out from it. I needed to replenish my energies. So they did leave, and on the way home, Larry told Kim what that box was. He had been having an affair, which everyone knew. It came out in the open. And so he said to Kim, he had put a bunch of letters that were written and pictures that were taken in the box and buried them. When it was all over and everyone knew it, he didn't want to bring those out and hurt anybody. And that's what Damien was talking about. And he was afraid that I would learn what was in there and tell Kim. He wanted to be the one to tell his wife. And so I guess they went home and took care of that box. So that, to me, really was an eye-opener. And it made me believe, yes, this is real, Dolly. You're really able to do this and help people on this side and the other side. So that's one of the confirmations that I got from Spirit. There was something I was going to tell you about spirits, and of course, I should have told you right then. Maybe it'll come to me later. I don't read very often because I haven't advertised that I'm a medium. I really don't want to put myself out there. But I will if someone comes to me. And I will especially when the spirits come to me. If someone wants a reading and the spirit hasn't contacted me, but the person has, what I do is tell the spirit, or call the spirit. I call the spirit by name and I say, your relation, your friend, whatever, so-and-so wants to speak to you. They're going to be meeting with me at this time. Would you please come and talk with them? So I start working on that a day or two ahead of time so that the spirit can get the message and decide whether it wants to come or not. Sometimes they don't want to come, but another one will. Never lacking, never lacking. When someone wants to communicate with spirits, there's always spirits there to communicate. And 99.99% of the time, it will be someone that they are connected to. Every once in a while, another spirit will come through just because a door was opened and they saw the light to me. They saw the little opening. So they want to come in and they just want to have human energies. They want to share the human energies. Well, they want to steal your human energies. or they want to cause some havoc because they think it'll be fun. I think it's only happened to me once. Because I've learned how to prevent that sort of thing in my protection prayer. I always say a prayer ahead of time. When the people are here, we're ready to start the reading, I always say a protection prayer. I ask this for the angels that are with us to please surround us individually and as a group and protect us from any unwanted spirits, from any spirits that aren't from God, and any that aren't good, any with bad intentions, please protect us from them. And please open us up to those that they want to hear, and let it be for the highest and best of all concern. That's the kind of things I say, just so you know. Spirits don't come to me a whole lot, just whenever they have their messages. And I don't allow a whole lot to come in. And I'm needing my energies lately, but I also find that when I need more to help someone, I am provided with it, with just enough to help the other people, and then a little bit of more. I always have guides and angels with me, because I invited them in. When I was in Venice, and Christia Cummings Slack had said those powerful words to me, that we all have as many angels that can fill a football stadium plus standing room, and there's angels hanging around outside the stadium. And they belong to us. They're assigned to us individually. You have that many. I have that many. Colleen has that many. Everybody has that many. So they can't help you unless you ask. I asked. I invited them to come to my house to use it any way they want to, except don't have battles in my house. No bad stuff going on in my house. They can come and have their meetings. They can come and just rest. They're invited for anything they want except for battles. And they do. They come and go. You can feel it in the atmosphere of the house. Now just talking about it, I've got goosebumps. My hairs are standing up. I feel them. Even more came to stand around me, to be around me. And they're thanking me. They're appreciative that I'm so open to them and that I have invited them. And of course my guide is here. My guides, they also are here. So it's a good place. If you all want to do it, you ask them in. You just ask them in, like I did. But they're here. But if I need them to help me, I ask them. Sometimes they help me even though I don't ask them. Like when I took a fall and slid across my living room floor face first. Well, actually, as I fell from my feet to my legs, the bottom legs, my knees hit the floor really hard, especially the one, it just scraped the skin. Top two layers of skin came off. Rubbed right off. And then my top legs hit, and my hips, my abdominal area, and my face smacked down on the floor. And as I slid, I had hit my head on the wall. Well, my head came up. It did a bounce on the floor. And I was thinking, oh, angels, please help me. Don't let it break my nose. or a hip. Don't let it break me anywhere. The angels helped me because I was not broken. I just had some skin missing. I sprained my wrist. My head hurt from where I hit it twice on the wall. And my face hurt where I hit it on the floor, bam, twice. But the angels helped me because I had the presence of mind to think, please, angels, help me. And they did. They just didn't let me get hurt as bad as I could have. So I do not know if it was the angels or my guardian angel. I'm tending to think it was my guardian angel because I felt, and I still can feel, those big arms going around my body on the top and the bottom. And I did see my guardian angel when I had an NDE. They had called code on me, and I had that NDE. And when I came out of my body, I just hovered over my body. I didn't go anywhere else. I stayed in the room hovering over my body. I looked up to my over my left shoulder, and there stood my guardian angel. And it isn't like an angel you think angels look like. It looked like K2, the robot that was in The Day the Earth Stood Still. It looked like him. It looked like that robot. Big and standing with the arms crossed, and I knew I was protected. And I was so excited that I was able to have a glimpse of my guardian angel. So you all have guardian angels too. If sometime you have a close call with something and you stop and try to remember it, ask if you're allowed to see what your guardian angel did for you so you can see your guardian angel. It might happen, it might not. But if you ask, you have a better chance. I wanted to hit on spirit attitudes. They all have attitudes. When you cross over, you don't lose your personalities. Mm-mm-mm-mm. You keep your personalities. And you can improve on those personalities as you go through that dimension, wherever you end up. It's up to you. It's all up to you. You're not judged over there. It's such a love. I cannot put love into words to you what you feel. You are just overwhelmingly, fantastically, literally out of this world in a love place and loved, and you feel your love. You can feel the love inside of you, even that you were hiding from others or didn't want to acknowledge. But when spirits cross over, sometimes they don't want to go on to the next place, like Dave didn't really want to go on when he crossed over. Dave Corso, who was MK Ultra soldier, and he started Wolf Spirit Radio, and I can't remember what year, back in the day, and he's the one who brought me to Wolf Spirit, and then on to Hagee Shack and Cosmic Reality Radio. He brought Colleen and Nancy and Walt and I out to Cosmic, away from WSR, Wolf Spirit Radio, to do our own thing because we were going different paths. So Dave did that for us. He also helped to show me because he was, somebody asked, are you going to move on? Where are you? And what are you going to do now that you're over there? He said he wasn't ready to make a decision yet. And that's what taught me, oh, wow, you can hang out where you want to. You don't have to move on anywhere until you want to. It's your decision. So anyway, some spirits don't want to move on. And when they come to me and they want to talk to somebody or give me a message for someone, I have noticed their attitudes. They have attitude, like they had attitude when they were in their human bodies. Some of them are real serious. Everything is serious. Yada, yada, yada. It's got to be this way, this way, this way. Some of them are just plain fun. They like to do tricks. They like to tease people. They're just plain funny. And they can get serious when they give their message. Sometimes the messages are serious messages. Well, there's always the message that the human is loved and that the spirit is okay. And for the human, if they feel guilty about the spirit that they're talking to, their loved one who crossed over, the crossed over one wants the human to know it's not their fault. The death of the spirit was not caused by the human. It's not their fault. It was either time. Wait a minute. They're saying there's no either to it. It was time for the spirit to move on, no matter what age. We come here with a purpose, and it's fulfilled, unless sometimes suicide gets involved in there. Sometimes spirits are confused because they're taken out of their body so fast they don't even know that it happened to them, and so they're very confused. They don't know where they are and what's happening, and why aren't people responding to them? What is going on? And if they come to me and they're confused like that, I will help to explain to them, you're not in your body, your human body anymore. You're in the spirit form. And there will be those around you who are there to help you. Look for them. Look for the helpers. They're there to help you. You'll probably see someone you know, and you'll know you know them, so I tell them. I help them to, some of them move on, some of them just won't accept my words. Some of them can't hear me. They're so confused. They don't hear me. They aren't ready to hear yet, I guess. They'll hear someone when it's time. And some of them come to me just full of anxieties because they want to get their message across. Some of them are full of anxiety because they're not happy where they are. And there's a reason they're not moving along. I don't know what that reason is. Dave says some of them have to go to certain places for a while until it's time for them to move to a different place. Others are free to move right on up the ladder to wherever. Others just go to different places because they want to go there. They want to experience that part. There's different places you can go to once you get out of your body. I was asked recently, do I ever hear aliens? No. Not to my knowledge, I don't. I don't want to talk with aliens. I'm not interested in talking with aliens. I came to Earth because I wanted to come to Earth. I had a purpose. And that scared me. My bedroom door just slammed shut. I got the house all opened up. So the wind blew it shut. Let me see if someone's trying to get my attention. No, it was the wind. So, where was I? Oh, do I speak with aliens? No, I don't want to speak with aliens. I came to Earth to experience Earth's experiences. And then I there are invaders wanting to talk to or cause trouble who come into me, but I touched on that earlier. I've only had like one in my realm, in Dolly World, but other people probably get them because they don't do their protection stuff really well. So they're able to get through to some humans, get through to where some humans are and feed on their energies and things like that. What else can I tell you about spirits? Geez, I didn't think I'd have anything to say. And here we are 50 minutes into the show. And this runs for 60. Let me see. I took some notes here. So let me look around in my notes and see if there's anything. There's the angelic. There's the people, human people who crossed over. Oh, when I had my final exam at the Angel Ministries College, a school of metaphysical studies college. I think it's called the College of Metaphysical Studies. Yeah, that's what it's called. See, I'm so impressed with my degree at that school that I can't even remember the name of the school. The College of Metaphysical Studies, yeah. I put the right thing in my notes. What was I going to... Oh, yeah. When I did my final exam for that, I was tested by one of their top professors and mediums. I was scared out of my mind, and I was giving her this message that I thought, oh my gosh, this can't be real, because I thought the lady was in better position than what I was being shown. And the words I was telling her, I didn't feel comfortable telling her, because I thought she was... I thought there was more to her than what they were saying. She was just a normal person. She wasn't this all grand type person that I thought. She was just a normal person who had that ability, and bless her heart, she was sharing it so she could teach others to have that ability too. So I made it through. I did okay. She was impressed. She was very happy with the reading I had given her. So I should have known then that I was for real, but I always had those doubts creeping in my mind. So what I want to share with you, kind of parting words, please, if you're hearing something, and you have thoughts, spirit-type thoughts, you curiosity about the angels, and you really, I wish I could hear the angels. Annette said to me just recently, oh, Mom, I wish I could talk to and hear the angels like you do. I said, Annette, all you have to do is relax, accept it, ask them. That's all you have to do, folks. It may take work, because you've got this block going inside you. Work at it. Work on that block and ask the angels to help you. Please, help me, angels, to open up. I want to hear you talk to me. I want to feel you, because you feel their energies around you. When an angel is around you, you can stop yourself and feel what's going on around you. Feel the energies. Oh my gosh, they're doing it to me again. I got their feel. I have, the energy is actually swirling around me. not in a bad way. It's just a nice little swirl around me. Some of it is real fast. Some of it is very calming. You can do that too. Just start out by asking them if you can feel them. And pay attention to the energies. And pay attention to your body. Because maybe you'll get, your hairs will stand up, or maybe you'll get the goosebumps, or maybe you'll get this feel like wind is blowing on your ear, or blowing on your arm, or you feel like a piece of material has crossed over your body. These are different things to look for with spirits. And as soon as you feel it, if you feel it by surprise, thank the angels and ask them, please let this be for the highest and best of all concerned. So that way you're throwing protection around you and you'll feel better about opening up more. You know, folks, I wish everybody could. I know they can, but I mean, I wish everybody did feel what I feel. If I had a way to share it, I would share it. All I can do is share my words on how you can attain it. Spirits can be a whole lot of fun. They help you. They can be a whole lot of help to you. They can be a comfort to you. The spirits are there. You just need to try to tune into them. And if you can, look for classes on meditation. Not so you can do the meditation part so much, but so you can get yourself a little quieter than normal, and maybe you can feel what's going on around you. I used to try to meditate. It's not easy. I couldn't get my head to really calm down and make it blank. I can't make my mind blank. I don't know many people who can. I don't know if I know anyone who can, actually. But anyway, look for classes on tarot cards. I don't do tarot cards. I don't understand them. But it's a good way to get you into the spirit realm, learning more about how to communicate with spirits. Don't do Ouija boards. No, no, no. Do not do them. You open too many bad doors. Please, I beg you, stay away from Ouija boards. I won't even walk by them in the store. Anyway, look for classes on different spiritual things. And go to them, and that might help you to open up. There's things around. Ask to be led to things, and all of a sudden you're going to get things that in your head, oh, hey, I can do this. Or you'll run into somebody who says something, the right words at the right time. Or you'll read something, a place where you can go, someone you can talk with, or a group, or whatever you're looking for. Ask the angels to bring it to you. But look for it. You got to look for it. You can't just sit there and say, oh, I wish this stuff would happen to me, la-di-da-di-da. Look for it. Get excited. They're all around you. You can do it. And I'm out of here for this week. I don't know what I'll be talking about for the next show. This was show number 2. So, show number 3 will be next week. I want you all to know I really appreciate you being in my life, because a lot of times I can feel when you're listening. Sometimes I can't, but a lot of times every once in a while I'll pick up, oh, hey, someone's listening to this or that. And this allows me to do it while I'm my strongest. Colleen, Nancy, Dory, and Christia suggested it, and I'm glad they did. So it's been fun for me to chat with you. I hope you got something out of it. I hope you enjoyed it. And bye-bye.
You have been listening to Dolly Shares with Dolly Howard. Thank you for listening.